Lord God, we thank you that you have planted Christ, your true vine, into the soil of our broken world. Help us to hold on to that vine and find our place in you, so that we may bear good fruit to the glory of your name. Amen. If you'd like to remain seated, we'll listen to our two readings this morning.
First reading this morning is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, reading verses 26 to the end of the chapter. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Start out and go south to the road that leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road." He set out, and on his way he caught sight of an Ethiopian. This man was a eunuch, a high official of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, in charge of all her treasure. He had been to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage and was now returning home. Sitting in his carriage and reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and meet the carriage." When Philip ran up, he heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He said, "How can I without someone to guide me?" And invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. The passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb that is dumb before the shearer. He does not open his mouth. He has been humiliated and has no redress. Who will be able to speak of his posterity? For he is cut off from the world of the living." "Please tell me," said the eunuch to Philip, "who it is that the prophet is speaking about here, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began, and starting from this passage, he told him the good news of Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. "Look," said the eunuch, "here is water. What is to prevent my being baptized?" And he ordered the carriage to stop. Then they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up from the water, the Spirit snatched Philip away. The eunuch did not see him anymore, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared at Azotus and toured the country, preaching in all the towns till he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our Gospel reading this morning comes from St John's Gospel, chapter 15, reading the first 8 verses. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Any branch of mine that is barren, he cuts away, and any fruiting branch, he prunes clean, to make it more fruitful still. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Dwell in me as I in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but only if it remains united with the vine. No more can you bear fruit unless you remain united with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who dwells in me as I dwell in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not dwell in me is thrown away like a withered branch. The withered branches are gathered up, thrown on the fire and burnt. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you, ask whatever you want and you shall have it. This is how my Father is glorified. You are to bear fruit in plenty, and so be my disciples. Alleluia. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ our Lord. Alleluia.
May the Lord speak to us through his word and through his people. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Good to be with you. A few weeks ago on the evening service, a small group of us gathered together to retell the story of the Emmaus Road encounter. And for those of you who may not be familiar with this story, it's something that happened immediately on the first day that Jesus rose from the grave. And there were two disciples who were walking along the road to Emmaus, hence it's usually called the Emmaus Road story. And as they walked, Jesus came alongside them. They couldn't tell it was him. They were speaking about their story and telling him about the things that they were worried about. And then he spoke to them. And eventually, as they got to the end of their journey, they asked him to stay. And as they entered the house, he broke bread, gave thanks, and they saw it was him. It's a powerful story that many of us will be familiar with. We've probably told it a million times. But I think it was 2 weeks ago, we told it as we walked around the cloisters of the building. And I quite enjoyed that. I'm looking to those people who were there. They're smiling vaguely to reassure me that it was okay. But we had quite an interesting time retelling the story and reflecting on the different elements, the different things that were going on as Jesus came alongside them. As he listened, as he heard their concerns, their telling of the story. And then he retold the story. He took them through the story of their own scriptures, their own account of themselves and their journey with God. And he retold the story. He made it different in some way so that they appreciated again what God was doing in their lives. And as they came to the end of the story, this Jesus who had slipped alongside them quietly and unobtrusively, without them really even knowing what was going on, this Jesus, they asked him to stay with them. They invited him to spend the night because it was getting late. And then he breaks bread. And in that sacramental act, that very special act of breaking bread, they can see what was going on all along. It's a wonderful story. It really bears retelling, and we will tell it over and over and over again in this building because it's a special story. It's our story often. It's the story of how Jesus comes alongside us in our lives. We're not always aware that he's there, but he's listening. And as we tell our story to him, as we reflect on his word, and he speaks to us through him, something special happens. And we have that opportunity to invite him to stay and walk with us. Now, the reason I've introduced that Emmaus Road story this morning, and you're probably thinking, did someone read the wrong passage? Am I having to backtrack and reintroduce a different story? No, actually, because I think we've just listened to the same story. And it's slightly different. It's not a story of Jesus on the Emmaus Road. It's a story of Philip on the Gaza Road. And as I read this story again and afresh this week, I was struck by how similar it is to the story I've just been telling about Jesus and the disciples on that Emmaus Road. Here we've got Philip. He's been sent on a journey. He doesn't quite know why he's going, but he's been sent. God wants him there. That's all he knows. He knows that this is the place where God wants him to be. And he finds himself walking alongside another. And he listens. And he hears that other person reading from the book of Isaiah and pondering to himself, possibly out loud, what this passage might be about. This Ethiopian eunuch, obviously part of the Jewish community in some way. Don't quite know the full ins and outs of that, but this was part of the same community. This was someone who held some of us a similar story. And as he's wandering along, he's reading the scriptures and reflecting. And Philip comes alongside and quietly says, "What are you reading?" And he listens as the Ethiopian eunuch tells the story. And then, just as Jesus did with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, Philip, having listened, retells the story. He tells the things that only he can tell because he's been there and seen it. And the Ethiopian eunuch listens. He feels his own story strangely transformed. Something is happening. And then, wonderfully, we get to the end of the story, and the Ethiopian says, I want to be baptized. I want to be washed. I want to be part of this story. I want to make it my own," which is kind of what baptism is all about, really. It's not really an individual act. It's an act of community. It's an act of becoming part of the people of God. And this Ethiopian eunuch wants that. He wants to be part of it. He wants to be part of everything that he is discovering anew and afresh. Perhaps for the first time in these terms. So Philip takes him down to the stream. They take part in a sacramental act. The water is used. And suddenly Philip disappears. He's taken from his view. Just at the moment that the Ethiopian eunuch makes that step of realization and beyond belonging. Now, when you put it in those terms, these two stories are remarkably similar, aren't they? We've got Jesus or Philip coming alongside another person, listening to them as they tell their story, retelling that story again and afresh, using the tools and the rich resources of Scripture and their experiences. And as they retell the story, something special happens. And then the person, whether it's Cleopas and the other disciple or the Ethiopian eunuch, they make some kind of step. They say, "Stay. I want to do something. I want to be part of this." There's an action, a sacramental action, the breaking of bread, the use of water. And then that person disappears from view. Now, I don't think there's any accident in the fact that these two stories have a similar structure. I don't think there's any accident at all. Jesus was doing what Jesus does, and he still does it today. And many of us have had that experience, that wonderful experience of transformation as we have known Jesus come alongside us, as we have felt listened to, and our lives have been reinterpreted in a wonderful way, and we've been able to say, "Yeah, stay." Many of us have had that experience without needing another human being involved. But for many of us as well, we've had that experience where there, it wasn't Jesus, it was another human being. It was a Philip. It was someone who was being a little Christ, a Christian, someone who was doing what Jesus does. And Philip in this story gives a wonderful example of what it means to be one of God's people. We're called to do what Jesus did. We're called to live as Jesus lived. We're called to continue his mission, his work in our time, in this world. And so I love the way that this story this morning in our readings, the lectionary is a wonderful thing. They pick readings seemingly at random, but they often connect in wonderful ways. I love this parallel here because we've got Philip, we've got that Emmaus Road parallel, and we've got this image of vine, of a tree, of branches, of trunks. And the vine, the tree, is one of those great biblical images of God's presence. Of God's presence, but also of God's community. And the two are wonderfully interwoven. Whether it's the burning bush in the desert, or the vine that symbolizes Israel, the vine that symbolizes Jesus, the new creation, these wonderful images of trees do symbolize something very special about the fact that God is present in the world, but also about the fact that God is present in the world through his people. And a tree is not a blob. A tree is not a solid shape. It has branches and arms and trunks and leaves. And you could get all scientific and wonderful and fuzzy here about self-similarity. And you know, each branch is kind of similar to the thing that it's coming out of, isn't it? From the trunk, then leads to the branch, which leads to another branch, which leads to another branch. And each one is kind of similar. And that's what it means to be part of God's tree, of the vine that is Christ. Christ's the kind of core of that. That's what we need to hold into. That's what the life comes from. But we are called to be Christ-like, to be little Christs, little branches. Which sounds kind of scary and perhaps even a huge responsibility, but actually if we look at Philip, the job isn't that hard. We're simply called to come alongside other people, to listen, sometimes to tell or retell the story, and do whatever needs to be done. Because whatever actions that we take in love, they're sacramental actions, whether they're the breaking of bread or the splashing of water, the giving of food, the offer of a smile or a shoulder to cry on. Because when we do those things, we make Christ present again. So, little branches, let us continue to follow Christ and let us remain rooted in him. Let's pray.